The fictional New Zealand seaside town of Gabriel's Bay is a setting for the third in a trilogy of novels by Hawke's Bay-based author Catherine Robertson. The central theme explored in Spellbound is power, from family violence to factions that can emerge within a small community. There's a large cast of characters in the book, so you have to keep your wits about you as a reader. Yadna Saw reads from Spellbound.
Ash had never much to do with the local police officer, and he hoped it would remain that way. Casey Marshall was entirely professional and utterly intimidating. How criminals ever lied to her, Ash couldn't fathom. Now, in her presence, he was tempted to confess to every minor transgression he'd ever committed, including the time he used "who" instead of "whom" in a work email. Patricia Weston was equally professional, but less likely to slap you in handcuffs at any moment. "We call this family harm, not domestic violence now," Casey was saying. "And there's been a lot of positive change recently on how we investigate it, but we reckon only a fifth of the victims still actually report it, so that sucks." "Yes, they fear it will make things worse," said Patricia. "And sadly, often they'll be right, or there's a sense of extreme shame, which I suspect is also at work in Denise's case. We suspect that as many as half of all women who experience abuse come from well-off, predominantly white households, a demographic that society persists in seeing as immune to such issues. Fear and shame, while perfectly understandable, do not help us get on top of the problem." "Are you saying that if Denise herself does not report the abuse, then you can't help her?" said Ash to Casey. "Not exactly," Casey replied. "I'm a community police officer, and my job is to ensure everyone in my community is safe. However, it's difficult for us to take it any further if an official complaint is not laid. If we have enough evidence, we can bring the charges ourselves. But psychological abuse is hard to prove if the victim won't cooperate. And if you turn up at Denise's door, fear and shame will almost certainly prevent her from cooperating," said Ash.
Catherine, I want you to take me back to Gabriel's Bay. This is a return to Gabriel's Bay, but where did it start for you, this whole idea of building a community in which your large cast of characters live?
It's interesting to me because often people go, where do you get your ideas? And then sometimes when you get through a book, I can't actually remember what the genesis of the idea was. I did know that my first three books were more sort of chicklet, I suppose, and I wanted to break out of that box because I wanted to write more complex female characters, I wanted to write more male characters, and I wanted to just write more, you know, and write about issues. So I needed a way to be able to, I guess, bring, as you say, a large cast of characters together. So I took a leaf out of both Maeve Binchy and Deborah Mogak do it. They centre the stories on a place, so Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, etc. And they have a range of characters and they tell these sort of separate stories that are all interlinked. And I thought, right, that's what I want to do. So I knew I wanted to write it in New Zealand, first book that I'd set in New Zealand. So I wanted a small town and I wanted one that wasn't anywhere because I wanted to be able to play with it fictionally. You know, I'm not from a small town, so I don't feel like I own a small town, if you know what I mean. I'm not a resident. And then I thought, well, that'll be a very straightforward construction. But actually writing six characters with six individual stories and having it all interlink and feel like a cohesive novel actually did my head in completely. But I managed it, and then the second one was a lot easier.
I love the fact that you've got a cast list, and I was just adding them all up. I think I got to 39, including Brian the Cat, who's one of my my favourites. When you started, I mean, it's quite something, isn't it? You've lived with these characters, you've created them, but when you started actually writing a cast list and a little description of them, were you surprised how many you've created?
Actually, yes. And of course, you know, the cast list only comes in What You Wish For, the middle book. Gabriel's Bay didn't have one, and so I put it in because there were so many requests for one that I thought, right, fair enough, I'll put one in. So I did a Jilly Cooper and put not only all the people but the animals in there as well. But, you know, you just want this rich canvas and you want it to feel real and you want it to feel like there are, you know, like this, not just this tiny little community of people who all know each other, but this bigger expanse beyond it. I wanted to be able to represent a lot of different voices the way that you would in a real community.
Do you find that some of them are fighting for more attention as you're writing this? Do you know what I mean? How real are they to you?
Well, when I first wrote Gabriel's Bay, Bernard, who's the sort of, you know, 63 when he starts, turned 65 and spellbound, much to his chagrin, he was a minor character and I wanted him to be one of these sort of petty bureaucrats. But the more I started to write him, the more I liked him. And then I ended up actually writing him in as one of the main characters in Gabriel's Bay. So yes, they do shout for attention and they do, and I never quite know when I'm starting to write one how they will grow. I always have a sense of their voice. I always have a sense of, I guess, their drivers of their personality. But until you start writing them, you don't know how they're necessarily going to react in situations and to other people. So that's really fun, is developing a character. But quite often, I'll get through and have to go back and rewrite to add the pits, you know, that I have developed down the track.
One of the storylines here is domestic abuse. Mm. That's a tough one. What got you wanting to represent that in the novel?
Well, when I envisaged Gabriel's Bay, I did actually envisage them as a trilogy, and each book I wanted to sort of deal with a certain theme. And so Gabriel's Bay was about loyalty to yourself, to friends, to family, to your community. What You Wish For was about human nature and the environment. And Spellbound is about power. So it's about power imbalances, anything from local politics to relationships. And domestic violence is, relationship violence is very much about a power imbalance and using power to control people. And so mine is not, my storyline is not a physical one, but it is a very bruising emotional and psychological form of control. So I wanted to put that in there. Bless her, Jackie Clark from The Aunties was fantastic, because I knew I needed, you know, I always wanted to get things right, and this is not my lived experience, luckily. And so I rang her and had a big chat to her, you know, sent her the original draft, and we had a huge chat. She was so, so helpful.
Another issue, and again, such a real one for many parts of the country, in a small community where people have different ideas, very strong ideas, about how they want the future, and people who embrace change and the people who love the place where they've lived for a very long time. And this is another source of tension throughout the novel.
Yeah, absolutely, because, I mean, you know, as soon as you get more than one personality in a room, you've got potential for miscommunication and disagreement. And I wanted to show that, you know, small communities very often are held together by people who just do the jobs that need to be done. And there are a lot of volunteer efforts that go into keeping communities together and providing the things that communities need, because there isn't the money or the government funding or the infrastructure or the resources to provide it, you know, from external sources. And I wanted to sort of look at how maybe local politics can be looking at, you know, and it's business as well, looking at profit over people, short-term gain over long-term prosperity and the well-being of people who live in communities. I wanted to explore all those angles.
I was rather taken with the conversation where Mac is involved, talking about the loss of banking facilities.
Yes.
In communities. And that's such a live issue.
I had an encounter with the CEO of Australia's Cooperative Bank. He said the cooperative bank model in Australia came because small communities, once they lost their banking, they lost their heart. And I thought, oh, that's quite true. You know, and you take the supermarket away, you take the post office away, you take the service station away, and you're taking away a lot of facilities that, they're more than transactional facilities. They're places where people meet and they talk and they plan things. And it is really hard for communities to survive when those core services are gone.
So tell me about the love bus.
You know, when I came up with the character of Mac, I wanted her to be one of these people who just gets on and does the jobs that need to be doing. And so Mac is the office manager for the local GP.
Every community needs a Mac.
Every community needs one. And so she, in Gabriel's Bay, the GP is Dr. Love. And he's also one of these quiet people who just surreptitiously does a bunch of things, never wants any recognition for it. So he bought a bus and Mac offered to drive to take all the pensioners who wanted to go over the big hill to the bigger town, the big smoke of Hampton, that I totally made up. And so, yeah, so she takes them over on the love bus over the hill to go and do their shopping and go and have a cup of tea and go to the library, etc.
Do you see more of yourself in any of the characters than others?
When I think about this, I think Sydney is about as close to me as you get, but she's definitely different. And Mac is probably the person I would like to be. Very much forthright, not caring what people think of you. Kind, you know, kind and generous, as well as being blunt to the point of, I don't know, hammer-like.
You mentioned Ash, actually. This is the GP.
Yeah.
I was intrigued by Ash, really, and just the complications, again, being a GP in a very small community where everybody knows everybody. It's a real dilemma for him.
Ash takes over from Dr. Love, and of course Dr. Love has been, that's sort of one of the storylines in Gabriel's Bay, is realising that he really has to retire and they need to entice a new GP to come to this tiny town. And Dr. Ashwin Gadavi comes from London via India via London. I wanted to make him a certain personality as well. I wanted to make him a naturally empathetic person, very sort of sensitive and aware of what's going on, very high in integrity. But, you know, the overdone part of that is that you become quite anxious and sort of perhaps over wanting to please people, and also worried about his own capability because he's come from a family of super achievers and he doesn't quite realise that he is also quite a high achiever. He's just more aware of his faults than he is of his strengths.
You mentioned that you had seen this as a trilogy. Can you let your 39-plus characters go? Will they let you?
So when I first wrote this draft, I actually wrote it. The first draft was number 3 in an ongoing series, which just shows that you should always check with your publisher before you do something like that, because my editor, my lovely editor Harriet, came back to me and said, well, actually, no, I'd like this to be the third in a trilogy. Doesn't mean you can't write more, but I'd like some of these storylines to be wrapped up. And I went, cool, let me just rewrite this entire book. So I did that. But yes, I think, because for me, there's always, you know, that's the joy of having like an imaginary place. You know, it's like having your own fictional kind of Sim City or something that you can build and create. And there are lots more things that are important to me that I would like to use Gabriel's Bay and its people as a vehicle for, you know, exploring.
So I'm sensing that we have not seen the last of Gabriel's Bay.
No, you haven't. I've got another book to write in the meantime, and that's due out next year, so I kind of have to get on with that one. But no, Gabriel's Bay, it's a wonderfully rich thing that I can put myself into, and I think, yeah, plenty more stories to be told.
Catherine Robertson, Spellbound is published by Black Swan, and we'll put the full interview up on the Standing Room Only webpage. It's now 11 minutes to 3 on RNZ National.